Okay, we are ready for the final session for the day, which is business combination under common control. We welcome Julia and the team. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Martin. Good afternoon, everyone. So what we would like to do at this session is to provide you with an update on business combinations under common control and also to invite your initial reactions to the staff's preliminary view on how business combinations under common control should be accounted for. So in 2014 and 2015, we performed research and outreach on business combinations under common control. And in doing that, we focused on two main topics. First of all, how business combinations under common control are accounted for in practice, and specifically whether the acquisition method or the predecessor method is applied, and also how they should be accounted for and why. So that was our first topic. Our second main topic of focus was about how the predecessor method is applied in practice, and also how it should be applied and why. So we were trying to assess both what happens in practice and what should be happening and why. As part of that outreach, we also talked to yourselves in March 2015. Agenda paper 5 summarizes our key findings in the research and outreach, perhaps just to highlight a few key points. So first of all, what we have seen is that in practice, business combinations under common control tend to be accounted for under the predecessor method, although in some cases the acquisition method is also used. However, we have seen diversity in practice in how the predecessor method is applied. In some cases, entities use the carrying values at the level of the controlling party, and in some cases, entities use the values of the transferred entity. Equally, there is diversity in practice in terms of where within equity any difference between consideration transferred and carrying values is presented. There is a little bit of consistency in terms of from which date business combinations under common control are accounted for. So in most cases, we have seen that combining entities are accounted for as if they have always been combined and comparative information is restated. However, again, it's not always the case. Now, in terms of the views on how business combinations under common control should be accounted for, again, most interested parties other than users of financial statements thought that the predecessor method should be the default method of accounting for business combinations under common control, or perhaps even the only method. In contrast, users of financial statements expressed diverse views on which method is most appropriate and why. In terms of how the predecessor method should be applied, again, we have heard diverse views. Some interested parties believe that carrying values of the controlling party should be used. Some interested parties believe that carrying values of the transferred entity should be used. In terms of where in equity to present any difference between carrying values and the consideration, most interested parties agreed with the view that we should not prescribe presentation within equity. And finally, in terms of comparative information, most interested parties other than regulators agreed with the view that comparative information should be restated. However, those regulators who did express a view believed that comparative information should not be restated and instead entities should be accounted as being combined from the date of business combinations under common control. So this is in terms of what we have heard. Now, in 2016, the board analyzed the results of agenda consultation and confirmed that business combinations under common control remains an active project on its research agenda. And we plan to resume the work on the project in Q2 this year, so fairly soon. On the basis of the findings in our research and outreach, we have developed preliminary views in terms of the approaches to pursue for the discussion paper, and we would be really interested in your views of those approaches. So at a high level, we believe that two approaches should be explored. One approach is using the predecessor method for all business combinations under common control, and the other approach would be using the predecessor method as the default method for business combinations under common control, unless those transactions demonstrate specific characteristics, for example, characteristics of an arm's length transaction. So clearly the main advantage of the first method, use the predecessor method for everything, would be its simplicity and the fact that all business combinations under common control would be accounted for using the same method, they would be comparable. Arguably, the advantages of the other approach would be that you can arguably get more useful information for like transactions. And what I mean, if you have a business combinations under common control that demonstrates characteristic of a business combination that is not under common control, it will be accounted for in the same way. However, obviously the challenge with that approach would be that it would be quite hard to describe how to sort of draw the line between different types of business combinations under common control, and those conditions would likely require a lot of judgment in the application. Now, in terms of how the predecessor method should be applied, our preliminary views is that it should reflect the perspective of the combining entities rather than the perspective of the controlling party. And what that means is that entities should be using current values of the transferred entity, and they should not be receiving comparative information. They should be accounted for the transaction from the date of transaction. And finally, we think that the ISB should not prescribe where in equity any difference between consideration and carrying values should be presented. So in a nutshell, this is our tentative thinking at the moment, and we would really appreciate your thoughts.
Okay, thanks, Maria. Kevin?
So I disagree with your paragraph 19. I think you can meaningfully describe, especially if you've got listed entities, because if the regulator bans the holding company from voting its shares, then the transaction is not under common control. It's fully in the control of the independent shareholders. And that seems to me it needs to be an acquisition IFRS 3 accounting. Otherwise, you've got the value that the subsidiaries passed up to the holding company being recognized as profit in the holding company. And in the subsidiary, the difference is ending up in equity. And accordingly, that cost that the holding companies receive from the shareholders is no longer going to hit an income statement. Why should that constitute a free expense when it was those shareholders that gave up value and voted for the transaction? So I think by defining a business under common control is where the parent can exercise its control, tick, we can deal with whatever accounting. But if the parent's unable to exercise its control,
okay,
well then it's a transaction with third parties. It has no power. And we have a major issue with the accounting is that power is everything. And if you have no power, then it can't be a business combination where you have control.
Okay.
But is it a scopes question or is it a...
Well, it says the question. It says the staff think it's possible to define in a meaningful way, a subset of business combinations to which the acquisition method should be applied. And I think you can, where the holding company cannot exercise its control. It's no different than if it was therefore selling to third parties.
Yeah, but I would question if that is the case. That is a business combination under common control,
yeah.
And therefore I think it would automatically be.
That's the one I think where you can meaningfully define the acquisition method.
But I think I agree with Martin. If there is no power to exercise control, it would not fall under the definition of
business. But it does. If you were to ask people whether that transaction is under common control, they say, well, I consolidated it before, I consolidated you, I have control.
Then we have to clarify that when we...
Yes.
But it's more a scopes question.
Yes.
Any other? So do you have a few that we maybe you should use the predecessor method in?
Yeah, one question. The whole starting point of this whole paper is that there are entities under common control,
mm-hmm.
And then you are questioning whether the predecessor accounting should be the right accounting or not. Am I right? Or are you also, the scope of this paper is not to define what is under common control, what is common control?
But what is common control is already described in IFRS 3. So IFRS 3 basically tells you that business combinations are accounted for under the acquisition method unless it is a business combination under common control. So business combinations under common control are scoped out from IFRS 3. And that's why we're looking at what should be the appropriate accounting for those transactions.
So the entity which is under equity method, there also you are saying that it is under common control. Starting point is common control, or the underlying assumption is common control, or not?
The starting point is that it is a business combination between entities that are under common control.
Control. If that is the starting point, then the question what you are asking, it doesn't hold good in the sense that the starting point is that the two entities are under common control.
But the definition matters. What is common control? It's not a control that it is consolidated already. I think it is a common control. Okay, it's you can access in the transaction.
Yes, that's the
starting point. Is that?
And at the moment, people are not going to the transaction definition. They're going, it was a subsidiary. It's still a subsidiary. Therefore, it is under common control. And I'm saying, a business combination is a transaction. It's not a full control environment.
Okay, any?
I'm sorry, can I ask the background why this issue comes up now, this time, after implementing this IFRS 3 many years ago?
Well, the ISB was, and maybe Peter can chime in on history as well. So the ISB was aware that there is a gap in requirements for business combinations under common control. And the project was first put on the agenda a number of years ago, but then it was sort of made dormant due to changed priorities of the board, and then it came back to the agenda. And then last year's agenda consultation confirmed that the guidance is necessary.
Mm. There's a lot of diversity in practice, and the regulators, they urged us really to do something about that because there is a widespread diversity.
If I give you an example, when Barclays acquired a majority interest in a bank in South Africa, they transferred their African assets to the South African to create an African group. They did it all under predecessor cost, and 17 billion rand, so that's £1 billion, was debited to equity. But that was a value shift from the minority shareholders to Barclays, and it's not on the balance sheet. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, fine. Now, second question is, if that is so, then how do you explain, can we explain para 22?
Paragraph. Which paragraph?
22. Careful information to be provided by disclosure. Now this is another again. Now, considering that your recommendation is to continue with predecessor value, right? If predecessor value is applied, method is applied, there should not be any need for disclosure of the fair value. That is an extra burden then.
And that's something for the board to consider. So as I sort of noted in my tee-up, when we talk to users of financial statements, users express diverse views, pretty much half and half, whether the predecessor method should be used or whether the acquisition method should be used. And users also stated that there is a difference between which information is provided via accounting methods versus which information is provided via disclosure. And they suggested that if one accounting method is selected for sort of accounting, then other information can be provided via disclosure. We're not suggesting in this paper at all what, you know, and how should be disclosed, but we're just flagging for attention that whatever method is selected, additional information can be provided via disclosures.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive of this because, see, the moment you have the paragraph 22, then the question arises in which case I disclose and which case I don't disclose. So it is better not to have that disclosure clause at all.
Because otherwise you disclosed that in 2014, but you carried on in 15, 16, 17, 18 in predecessor. So what use was it? I can't believe an analyst is now keep adjusting, well, what if. It's going to be...
What is that in 22 is only that the staff acknowledged that some investors said, okay, that fair value provides some kind of information that is not, I think, the staff recommendation that we should always have a disclosure. It's not decided, it's not suggested, but only acknowledged. That based on the research the staff has done, that some investors said, okay, there is some value in this fair value information. Any other comments? Does silence mean that you agree to all what the staff
Silence means we think it's a project that's worth progressing. Let's see where it goes.
Maybe I have a few.
I'm not sure if I understood the purpose. I suppose that the purpose is the local accounting, I would say, of the new entity. Because if two entities are under common control, they are already consolidated. So if they merge, for example, it will not change the consolidation of the group.
It's not addressing the consolidated numbers of the group.
Accounting, it is a question of local accounting.
Yes.
Not local, but the IFRS accounts of that entity which has done the acquisition.
If you were to sell a plant to Nissan,
local accounting,
maybe in yours local, but as
a consolidated figure.
So not a consolidated financial for the parents. Yeah. It does not, is not addressed. Okay.
Martin, you're happy.
Then I would thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that will, I think, finalize our meeting today.
Yep.
Thank you all for coming long ways and helping us really to address early in the project issues. Again, thank you very much and have a safe trip home.